Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Or at least, that's what I usually do. This week we have a special guest on the show, the Marionette Noelle Summit, young up-and-comer out of the Colorado area, most notably through Rocky Mountain Pro, where she is the current Lockettes champion in the midst of her first reign. We sat down for a little bit more an hour or so, talk about pretty much all facets of her wrestling career. But, you know, rather than talk about further adieus and give you the summary of the interview, let's just go ahead and jump right in. Let's get a word from our sponsor, get yourself some energy drinks, and when we come back, I'll be back with the Marionette Noelle Summit. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Ray's Energy for that pickup. Ray's comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Ray's Energy. Hello, everyone. We are back. Special edition of Confusion. I'm here today with the Marionette Noelle Summit. Noelle, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. I am happy to be here today.
It's great to have you on. Yeah, we'll start off, you know, with the basics. Same thing, like everyone always wants to know who may have missed all the other podcasts. Everything, you know, people who've never listened to a podcast before, or at least that haven't listened to you on a podcast before, but how did you, come into the wacky world of professional wrestling? Where did your fandom begin?
So my fandom began when I was 8 years old. So this is back in 2013, not to make some people feel old, but I was 8 in 2013 and my brother, he got a PlayStation. I believe it was a PlayStation 2 that Christmas, a PlayStation 2 or a PlayStation 3. I'm not one for like the gaming consoles. But he got the video game SmackDown vs. Raw 2008. And I remember me and him would play that game for hours and hours upon end. Like, we loved the characters. Like, Big Show was one of our favorites, like, from early on and stuff like that. And then one day we found out, oh, we can watch this video game on TV for real. And I still remember the, because at the time we had Comcast On Demand and you could like read the descriptions of the show before it aired. And I still remember the description of the first SmackDown I ever watched was John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio in an arm wrestling match. And that was one of the first wrestling shows I ever watched. And from that moment forward, like, I was pretty obsessed with it, you know, like, growing up, like, I had t-shirts and stuff, like, you know, when I kind of hit, like, seventh grade, I kind of fell away from it, but, like, you know, being true to myself, like, I was just, like, oh, it's not the cool thing to do right now, but, like, true to myself, I would always keep up with it and such, and then when I was 13 years old, I was sitting in a Chinese restaurant. It was around Christmas, and I was sitting with my aunt, my uncle, and my grandma, and they were asking me, you know, little 13-year-old me, they were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, oh, I want to be a nail tech. And my uncle said, I remember when you were little, you wanted to be a professional wrestler, blah, 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 blah. And I remember from that moment, you know, I was like 13, 14 years old, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it, you know, like, it was just this moment where, like, you know what, I'm going to try and do it. So at 14, I started saving up money, like, change here and there. And then, you know, I was 15 when I got my first job and started saving up money. And then when I was 16, I started training to become a professional wrestler. And it was April 12th, 2021. I have that date tattooed on my arm. Fun fact.
Oh, cool. Just kind of going back to it, who were your favorites growing up? You did reference Big Show in the video game, but he's kind of overpowered in those games as well. So that's
So like, definitely from the early days, like, we really liked like Big Show and like Mark Henry and like the Undertaker, just because like they were big guys fighting each other. But as I kind of, became more of a fan, one of my favorite of all time is Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, because I started watching during his Yes Movement, like the peak of the Yes Movement. And I, in my opinion, one of the best moments in wrestling is when he won the title at WrestleMania 30. I love John Cena. I'm a big John Cena fan. I can rap all of Basic Thuganomics, fun fact. CM Punk is a big one. If we're going to the ladies, AJ Lee was definitely one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan of Gail Kim, Awesome Kong, like that really like early to mid 2000s TNA Knockouts division was really big and very important to me, because like when I was watching, the girls were really shining as much. So Awesome Kong, Gail Kim, love Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, like a very very underrated duo, I think. Yeah, so those are some of my favorites. And I also love Kane. I can't forget about Kane. I love Kane.
So you got all the legends in there, and like I agree
Yes.
for the like the Knockouts division, like that's what really that and the X division really put TNA apart from
I
the
agree,
wrestling
definitely.
well, and they are the first ones consistently putting well their Knockouts, the women's division, in the main event and having whatever the same gimmick matches the guys were. So they were really groundbreaking at the time
I
as
agree
well.
100%, 100%, because like they, I feel like they were doing things back then that WWE didn't start doing until like the Women's Revolution. And I think it's kind of ignored a little bit, but I think women's wrestling is getting all the love now, so.
It's definitely got a renaissance going on, and a lot of focus is being put on the women. We're seeing women's well full women's companies finally kind of like popping up.
Yes.
Like even like I, you know my in like my wheelhouse, like where that's where I'm expert, because at least I can look out the window and see them. Not really, I'm not that close, but like Dreamwave now has an offshoot
Yes,
Uprising,
Uprising.
and so like they've got a whole sister promotion going up. And then we'll start looking at some of like the intergender work as well. You got like Masha Slamovich coming in, and like, yeah, she's tearing things up in the Knockouts division, but like she's also wrecking anybody who crosses her path anywhere else throughout the country.
She actually had a match in Colorado at the big company in Colorado, Triple L, Lucha Libre and Laughs, and she wrestled against Austin Reddick, and it tore the house down. Tore it down.
I mean, pound for pound, she's one of the best right now. Like, whatever, wherever it is on the gender spectrum you want to call it, like she's one of the best, and she deserves all the flowers that she can get right now, and get all the
I
money.
agree.
But going back to your training, so where did you get your training through?
So I started my training, and I'm still currently training at the All Snow Wrestling Academy of the Rocky Mountains. Matt Yaden, or Mercury Yaden, is the head teacher there. We also run a promotion called Rocky Mountain Pro, so I might refer to it as Rocky Mountain Pro, the All Snow Wrestling Academy. Same thing is what I'm talking about. I started there when I was 16, and I'll be 20 at the end of this year, and I'm still training with them. Definitely, in my opinion, one of the best places in Colorado to come get trained. Psychology is a big part of our teaching, fundamentals and basics. It's definitely glad to have my start at that school.
We'll call it peripherally familiar with Rocky Mountain. I think maybe 2 years ago I featured them on the pod on this pod when MLW took one of its many little seasonal breaks, and I was just going through random wrestling, and I'm like, let's just support the indies by just throwing out companies that are putting on a television product, and Rocky Mountain was one of them. And so, but that had been, I don't know, 2 years ago. I don't know, time means nothing post-COVID, so
That's true.
it's
I agree.
so
That's
And
all very.
anyone listening, just go through. Eventually, you'll just see Rocky Mountain Pro. And I think I buggered it up and did like it was like 2 years ago, and then buggered up on a Buggered Up Fight TV and then did like an even older episode. So the episode would be like 4 years old. They reviewed 2 years ago and whatever. It's an so Rocky Mountain is we'll say an Al Snow satellite training school. So
it is how much affiliated with Al Snow.
How much does and this is not meant to be a knock or anything, but he's very busy with his own independent appearances and Ohio Valley. How hands on is Al with the training?
So my trainer Matt Yaden is actually a student of Al Snow. So even though Al's not there a lot physically, he's been out a couple times around our like pay-per-view times and stuff like that. Even though he's not there physically, he's in constant communication with Matt. And if Matt has a question about training, because we follow the Al Snow Dr. Tom Pritchard curriculum, so they're always in constant contact. So he's not there physically, but we have a line to him.
Right on. And as I said, that wasn't like meant to be a knock or anything, because I'll throw my local area under the bus, because I have we have the Black and the Brave over here, a Seth Rollins school, and obviously he's a WWE superstar on the road,
exactly,
you know, like 300 days a year. So it's not like, you know, yes, he comes in, but it's not like he is the head trainer doing all the work on that. But you know, Al's been in the business for, well, technically longer than I've been alive, just barely, at least according to the t-shirt I have. And you brought up Dr. Tom, who's got a great reputation backstage overall. Like, have you been able to work with him at all, or is it just his curriculum?
Just his curriculum. I would love to attend a Dr. Tom seminar or something like that. I know he is good to learn from.
And I know he was one of the big guys in we'll say early period WWF at the time, training as well. So he's very hands on with like your Edge, Christian, Kurt Angle, etc. So he's got a lot of clout backstage on that. And then I did note through Rocky Mountain, you guys got a handful of regular, we can call them legends or guys with some clout in the industry. Most notably D'Lo Brown.
Yes.
And Kizarni, Sin Bodhi,
yes.
How much have you got to work with them? Do they do any sort of training, or they just come in for the big events?
You know, so they come in around like our bigger events and stuff like that. But I actually got to be in a storyline with Sin Bodhi not too long ago, and I actually got to work pretty close with him, and he's very creative. Knows what he's talking about, and you have to remind yourself that like D'Lo and Sin, like they're older, you know, they're 50s, 40s, stuff like that, but since they're so good and they've done this for so long, everything is just so smooth in the ring. Like Sin Bodhi still wrestles to a really certain level, and it's awesome to see him wrestle. I mean, he's had cool matches with Damon Ace at Rocky Mountain Pro, and you know, they had a carnival death match, and that was probably one of the best matches I have ever seen at Rocky Mountain Pro. D'Lo is awesome. D'Lo's been coming out since I started training, so I've known D'Lo for a couple years now, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, and he's always welcoming, you know, always can ask him a question, pick his brain. It is really, really beneficial to have those guys there. And I'm very thankful that, especially so early in my career, that I have access to minds like that, because they've been at a place at a different level. Like there's levels to this crazy, wacky world of wrestling, and they've been at the very top of the level. You know, so it's awesome how people from there are sharing their knowledge with people on different levels.
No, and both of them are almost, especially D'Lo, is criminally underrated. Just yes, the work he did during the Attitude Era, and then of course Sin. You know, he doesn't quite get the flowers that he deserves either, just being the creative mind that he is. And like, there's really no one doing what he's doing in the business now. Like, I love watching his promos for events, because nobody else is doing what he's doing with them. Like, he may be cutting maybe a stand, what you consider to be a standard promo, but there's so much going on with it, like with his green screen effects and all that stuff. So he's not just having his phone and going, let me tell you something, brother. Like, he's got the whole sideshow thing going on, and like that just no one else is doing it, and it really sets him apart. But yeah, that wasn't a question, so we're just dead airing that one. Also, Cloud, since this is my podcast, I get to drop a fun fact too. Sin Bodhi makes action figures in the old LJN style. Got one of those for my best friend for Christmas.
Yeah, That's so awesome.
It was his Kaw, his creator wrestler from like 20 years of video games, and got that in action figure form now. So that's sitting next to his TV now that we can watch wrestling, play the wrestling video games, and have his little action figure watching his character get beaten by me repeatedly, even though we're on the same team usually. So I'm a terrible tag team partner.
That's awesome. That's cool.
But yeah, so cheap plug for Sin. You know, find him on social media.
Yeah, Sin Bodhi.
Buy the LJN figures. But back to you, and you're again kind of going with your training. You said you started training at the age of 16. Was there any sort of pushback due to your age?
Yes. So I've always been a very independent person, independent child. My mom will call me stubborn. I don't like to take no for an answer. I've never liked to take no for an answer. And when my mind is set on something, I'm very much like, I'm going to do this. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And I remember I had gone to the tryout, gone to the physical and stuff like that. And I had, since I was 16, I had to get my mom to sign a paper and stuff like that. And my parents were very hesitant. My mom was very hesitant about me doing it at first, because, you know, at first glance, especially when you don't know what wrestling is, you know, you're not a fan. Like, from my mom's perspective, you know, your daughter's just hanging around a bunch of sweaty men, you know, and you're a little, you know, at first glance, you're a little, I don't know how I feel about that. But as time has gone on, and as I feel like I've worked harder and really, you know, shown my mom more about wrestling, shown my family more about wrestling, they have definitely become much more supportive than they were when I first started. It's been an awesome experience kind of teaching them what wrestling is, and, you know, why I love it, and why I drive to Kansas on a Saturday night, come back Sunday morning at 2 a.m. and then go to work at 7 a.m. the next day. You know, it's been a crazy experience, but I'm happy to report that, you know, we did have a little pushback in the beginning, but now we're chilling, now we're settling.
Well, that's great to hear. And I mean, chunks of it, I mean, we can attribute it just being parents, just in general. You know, some parents get weird when you go off to college, and this is, you know, you're very initiated to college just two years early.
Exactly.
That way. And with a whole lot more driving, probably, depending on where your campus is.
Kansas is about six, 8 hours. So.
Yeah. And it's not just Kansas anymore either, but we can touch on that in a bit. But yeah, so you've been training at Rocky Mountain Pro, still going through the training out there. And meanwhile, you're becoming a fixture in they call it the Lockettes division.
Yes,
in Rocky Mountain. And so, you know, you've been a solid part of the card for at least the last 2 years, and have, well, just recently won the main title, correct?
Yes, I did. It was. I'm kind of a big softie when it comes to stuff like that, and just went, because I started so young. The champion at the time when I first started training was Rochelle Riveter, who just recently won the FSW Women's title, and I just remember telling, you know, a little 16-year-old me, like, I was like, I'm gonna be her one day, like I'm gonna have the title too. And to just finally, you know, like, get to that point, it was really emotional, really, like, you know, because everyone dreams of winning the title as a kid, and it was just, dang, like, I really did this, like, I really, you know, accomplished my childhood dream. Like, it was very, And that belt is special to me, you know, because Rocky Mountain Pro is special to me. You know, I've always been the baby there, and the baby finally won a championship. And, you know, it's crazy. Very, very thankful. Very just still in awe, still in awe of it.
Well, and it shows that they have faith in you as a worker as well. I mean, we can, you know, throw away all like the nasty criticism people like to say about the belts, but like to have a, you know, to have a worker hold a belt, you know, that means they are going to be the focus of whatever that belt means for the division, whether it's the women's division, like the workhorse title, so to speak, the main belt. So obviously they see something in you and have a lot of faith for all the work you put in for them. So that's great. And then just, you know, showing that build for your career. You pretty much had you got to have a drastic change in character, like on screen. And that's kind of impressive as well, especially in the independent scene where a lot of times, like the characters, they may involve, but they don't necessarily go, you know, almost take a 180 in front of everyone like that, especially on a televised product like Rocky Mountain Pro. So before we kind of talk about the turn itself, talk about your early character rocking the cargo pants and I don't know how else I want to phrase the actual character itself.
It was, you know, the way I think of like early Noel Summit, if we're getting like technical of the eras of my wrestling career, like I was just a little kid. I was a little girl, you know, like I was, you know, just figuring not only, you know, what I was doing in wrestling, but figuring out like myself. So I was just happy to be there, you know, happy, smiling, you know, excited to go get my butt kicked every match I had and stuff like that. So, and what I really love about, you know, like from where my character was in the beginning to where my character is now, it's also like such a personal progression, because I feel like you watched me kind of grow up from cargo pants and butterfly clips and shirts I was cutting up into gear and stuff to now, you know, like I was looking at photos from my championship match, and I was comparing, you know, just the beginning to where we are now. And it's just, now I look at myself and I'm like, that is a wrestler. That's a full-fledged wrestler. But I think back then, like I was just a little kid, you know, happy to be there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's apropos because, I mean, as you put it, you kind of were just the kid happy to be there. I mean, you had been, you know, coming out 18 about that time, 18 at that point. So like you are just that happy-go-lucky kid. From there, you got to have, you know, pretty drastic transformation to the marionette. So take us through that process. Like, where did the marionette come from in your head, like in terms of character creation, and how did that, and then how did it come up, and then how did it come about on screen as a character?
So the marionette, oddly enough, was supposed to be a one-time deal. It was supposed to be just a story, you know, I get kidnapped and I get turned evil, and it was supposed to be one off, the, you know, I get saved, but, you know, I go out there and I do the character, and in my mind, you know, this is a one-off character. So I kind of approached it with, okay, this is Noelle, but this is kind of a dark part of Noelle. They brought out a really dark part of it. So, you know, I go out there and I'm the marionette, and they've turned me into this puppet that they can play, you know, however they want. And, you know, I did it so well, they were like, you know what, you're gonna stick with this. And from then on, I stuck with it, and it was definitely something I needed, because I was struggling with that characterization. And then here, you know, I'm being given more, it was easier to understand what I was doing. I felt like easier to understand, like, okay, I'm playing a scary, creepy doll. But, you know, even as time progresses, the marionette has evolved and stuff like that into that personal representation, you know, like she's not controlled anymore. She doesn't need anybody. She doesn't need anyone's help. She doesn't need anyone to save her. You know, like I see like that early days of the Marionette, I see someone who is angry, broken, confused, getting involved with the wrong people, you know, kind of pushing her off her path. And as the story progressed and as the Marionette progresses, you know, she's almost bringing back like who she was at the beginning, but she's not who she was at the beginning because she had to go through all this stuff. And it, like I said, like before, it's definitely a personal progression as it is as a wrestling progression. So yeah, I don't know where I was going with this. Sorry. I'm a yapper. I love to get off on tangents, but it's definitely, I feel like, who I am, because, you know, like everybody has that dark side. Everybody has that side they kind of push away. And, you know, in the beginning, I didn't know how to control that dark side, and my emotions would get ahead of me, and I was losing matches. And, you know, I was nice at the beginning, and now I'm mean, and, you know, I'm sitting here and I can't figure it out. But, you know, eventually, and as my story towards the championship, like, you know, it was before I won the championship that I finally realized, okay, like, it's a little bit of both. To be true to myself, I can't deny one side or deny the other. I have to be true to myself. And, you know, that's kind of where the Marionette lies today. She can turn up that aggression and turn up that twitchiness and the scariness and the ha ha ha, you know, when she needs to. But if the situation is different, she can kind of control that, you know. And yeah,
that's, I mean, the growth and progression is a great way of putting it. And that's, I mean, that's all great characters is something that they have to go through. I mean, every story has, you know, a beginning, middle, and end. And the best stories usually involve like some sort of growth. And today's day and age, we really like to see the growth of the anti-hero. So like we got like your Lokis or whatever, who was supposed to be like the bad guy, but like, oh, now we see like, oh, well, he was conflicted, or he just went about things kind of the wrong way to protect XYZ. And like, we can see so many characters kind of going through that arc as well.
Exactly.
But like, it, as I said, like, it was really interesting just to kind of see some of this progression just play out like in real time, like on TV as well. Like doing a little bit of my rare research, you know, I was going through a batch of old Charged and just other matches, and I did come upon the segment in which you nearly kill, it's Lilith, right? That,
yes.
you like nearly dumped her off a building, which also is crazy. Welcome to the world of wrestling, where you can nearly commit an act of homicide, but it's okay, we'll just have a match about it later, it'll be great.
Exactly.
But yeah, so like that kind of like really struck me, like when I was going back and kind of coming through, like you were kind of, I don't want to say like Bailey levels of innocent, but like you were just kind of like, yeah, that, you know, kind of that every girl. And now and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, you about dump someone off a building. And like that really stuck out with me. And then I don't know if like it was planned or whatever, but just kind of like when they call you off, like you just kind of like had, well, what would be kind of a Marionette movie style, like Twitch going on about it, like, but you weren't in the main, like you weren't up front about it, up front to see it, you were already behind, I can't remember who that was. And so like, you don't, I like at a certain level, like you'd already kind of gotten the character like by that time as well, figured out what they were doing. But yeah, like, so like I thought that was all really neat. And of course, scary dolls are wonderful, at least in the realm of horror anyway. But yeah, my diatribe aside, like again, like that, I think that shows some like great, that's a great character arc. So then I have to ask, like, at least from your perspective, where does the character go from here? Right now, at least in Rocky Mountain, she's their champion. And then of course you're branching out elsewhere in the company, in the country as well. So what's next, at least for the character Noelle Summit, the Marionette?
Man, I wish I could tell you. One thing I learned about wrestling and this journey and like walking through it, you never know what's coming. I could have never predicted becoming the marionette and having all the success I have had and stuff like that. So I don't know. Like, I feel like it has a lot to do with me as a person and how I grow as a person, because like, I feel like I was literally growing up, you know, I was 16, I was 17, I was 18, now I'm 19. Like, you know, you can see that on all those Charged episodes. So I can't really say where things are going to go, or like how the character is going to evolve. I just know she's going to evolve, because, you know, and one thing in wrestling, things always change on a dime. So I couldn't say, but I'm definitely ready to keep walking on the journey and keep walking on the path and like stuff like that, and enjoying the evolution as it's happening.
So branching out, as I said, you've referenced traveling to Kansas. How many states have you been taken for your travels? How many states have you
been through? I have to count. I have to say them out loud and count them. So I've
been. Flex. Go ahead.
So I have been to Colorado, obviously. I've been to Kansas. I've been to Utah. I've been to Oklahoma. I've been to Iowa, Illinois, Missouri. No, not Missouri yet. Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska. So I want to say Arkansas is one as well. I want to say that's about, it's about 8 or 9.
Yeah. Somewhere about there. I lost count as you traveled.
8 or 9, but I do get to add 2 new states this month. I'll be wrestling in Vegas and I'll be wrestling in Indiana. So always collecting new states. I'll also be in Kansas again this month, but got 2 new states this month.
There you go. Is your goal to hit all 50?
Yes, I would love to wrestle in all 50 states, because I've only been, you know, as a kid, I've only ever been to 3 states, and that's New Mexico, Colorado, and Florida, because I have family there. So my goal is I want to hit everywhere.
And just for fun, out of all the states and all the venues, like what's been your favorite venue to perform at?
Oh, that's tough. Oklahoma Core Professional Wrestling, they have a really, really awesome venue, super well done. It just they actually do the show in a church, and it's I know, but it looks super nice. I loved Mid-States Wrestling down in Arkansas. I loved the vibe. It was very old school. Felt like you were back in the 60s going to a wrestling show. Ha always has an awesome setup. Love making my entrance. And then selfishly, RMP, because we have an awesome team and they make our venues look awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, I full out agree. Like, Rocky Mountain looks great. I did get to check out... last month, 2 months ago, check out Mid-American as this part of my new indie spotlight thing. And yeah, I loved the almost like 80s WWF vibe they put off with their show. Like that was a lot of fun. But the world of indie wrestling is incredibly strange and they pop up everywhere. What was the weirdest venue that you've had to work in?
The weirdest venue? Gotta think. Probably it was I don't know if it was necessarily well yes it, so we were at this festival, it's called Top Taco, and it's a Rocky Mountain Pro, so it's in Colorado, and it's this taco festival, everyone's eating tacos, taking shots of tequila, and we wrestle there. Awesome time, super fun. But the first time we wrestled there, they had tents for us, but there were no walls on the tents. So it was just a tent. It was super hot, so hot that no, this was not Top Taco. I'm so sorry. This was not Top Taco. This was the Mile High Flea Market. Mile High Flea Market. It's up in Thornton. It's just this giant flea market. Anyway, again, we had tents with no walls. And it was so hot, and we have a black canvas. And we
Oh,
at
yeah.
the first show we did for them, we did not have the tent over the ring, so it was so hot that oh, you did not, I mean, you definitely want to go down in a wrestling match, but you definitely did not want to go down that day because it was so hot. I remember in the match, we were dumping water bottles on each other just to stay cool.
That happened, and I shouldn't say it happened to me. I went to the show, but the hard, the like it was the hottest days of the summer in August, and one of the local promotions had their show at a brewery slash bar, and so they had it out in what's usually the parking lot, and that was black pavement plus their canvas was black
Oh
too,
no.
and people like and guys were doing like light bumps on the on the asphalt, and I'm like, dude,
No.
it's weird. Like
No.
I you know it's weird. I'm a deathmatch watching guy and I have no problems watching people hit each other with light tubes and the barbed wire, but I'm like watching the guys roll on the hot asphalt and I'm
Because
cowering
you
in my
can
lawn
feel it. You
chair.
can, you're like,
Yeah,
oh,
like
no,
I'm
how
sitting there like drenched and I'm sitting in the shade. That was crazy. And also, you know, plugging like you brought up a tent. Fun fact, NXT has run tents before. Back in the day,
really?
they used to do like rock festivals. So I actually got to see NXT at Louder in Life outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And that
Ooh,
year, like
nice, nice,
it would have been about 2015 ish. So I got to see like some guys that like, well, okay, one of them was Samoa Joe, so he's always been like on top of his
dude,
game.
that's
But
awesome.
like Baron Corbin with hair, Samoa Joe, Enzo and Cass, like just before they took off and crashed and burned, whatever. But like, yeah, it was just a tent. Like it was completely open. They had guardrails so that at least that way you like had to like walk in through the entrance. Even though if you made it into Louder in Life, you've already paid tickets and you didn't have to pay extra to see NXT. That was just part of the show. So you had stage, and then there was a tent that was had a ring in it. And then like twice, like once a day, there would be an NXT show. So also if you go to if I don't know if it's still on the network because I haven't paid attention that much since Peacock took over, but the show Breaking Ground, which was like a show like behind the scenes of like NXT, like they actually cover Louder Than Life for a minute because like it was it made it because evidently Bayley produced was an agent for a match at
Oh,
Louder Than Life,
that's
so like. So there's my another humble brag humble brag taking the attention
sick.
away
No,
from my guest.
do it. I wish I could have been there. That like, and I will say, you know, as a wrestler, like you wrestle at different events, Comic Cons, flea markets, stuff like that. And even though those shows can sometimes be a pain, just because, you know, you kind of, you know, in those situations, more than not, you just kind of, you know, you're part of the con, you're part of the flea market. So it can be a little different to where it was like your own individual show. But also there's something so like indie about those shows that it's just like, you know, as if you're an indie wrestler, you gotta wrestle at those shows at least a couple times, you know, like go wrestle a match and then go eat a funnel cake, go wrestle another match. It's like
Are you even an indie wrestler if you didn't wrestle at a flea market? Really?
exactly.
Like that's, you know, I say this as a 40-year-old man who's not never stepped in the ring as a competitor, just
But
stepped in
it's true
the
though. Like if you haven't wrestled at a flea market, a Comic Con, or an empty high school basketball court.
Oh, there. Oh, speaking of the like empty basketball courts, smallest crowd you've gotten to wrestle in front of.
Oh,
That was an official show, not, you know, a COVID show or a family friends training kind of thing. Like people paid to be there, all three of them.
So for Rocky Mountain Pro for a while, I think almost 2 years, maybe like a little bit under, we did Ignition on Thursday nights, and then we kind of moved back and forth from Tuesdays to Thursdays. And you know, that is a weekly show. You're running weekly television, and it's definitely so awesome to be able to learn. But, you know, we're not WWE. You know, we can't fill a building consist, especially in Colorado, which is such a dead zone for wrestling. You know, there's not a lot of wrestling fans in Colorado. You know, I've wrestled in front of no people. I've wrestled in front of just like trainees, people's moms coming to the show. Like, I think the smallest crowd was two people, you know, one day at those weekly shows. So yeah, two people, I would say, is my smallest.
And how do you psych yourself up for that, especially as like a character, like looking at the Marionette, like that's almost something you almost, I don't want to say you have to have people there, but for the full effect of terror, and you almost kind of need that crowd reaction.
I agree. I agree with that because, like, you know, when I'm going out there and I'm being a jerk, like I love yelling at little kids. I love, you know, biting at people, just like, you know. But for me, it's also like as soon as I hit my music, it is go time. Like I've always, so I kind of just I always just remember, like, you know, people aren't watching right now, but they will be watching, you know, if this gets posted or stuff. Like, it is tough, don't get me wrong, because no one likes to wrestle when it's completely quiet, but it's definitely a learning thing. Definitely a learning thing. Don't like to do it, but you know, sometimes you gotta do it. And yeah.
Well, and again, it's really like, or have you actually wrestled on the indies? If you only, if you wrestle, if you didn't
Exactly.
wrestle for like three people, but we brought up, and I didn't think to ask this when we were talking about like the early days of the career. So you've pretty much been able to have your entire wrestling career on television and like learn
Yes.
on air. Like,
Yes.
what is that like? Like, what? How do you think that affects how you've trained compared to say just training to training at a regular air quotes indie that doesn't have like barely has a YouTube presence?
It's definitely an advantage. It's a stone cold advantage that I have, and I again, like, I'm very, very thankful for, because I know not everybody gets what I get, you know, and I'm very thankful to be able to have worked with the people I've worked with. And like, one, it's just cool because like I can go back and watch my entire career, and like that's very special from the beginning to where I am now. Like, again, like I'm very spoiled in that, and like that position to like where I have all the way to my first match. Is it kind of embarrassing? Because if I could scrub my first match from the internet, I definitely would. But you know, it definitely just it very lucky and very thankful, because like, you know, wrestlers 20 years ago didn't have that. And you know, my coach's thing has always been like, I didn't have that when I was wrestling 20 years ago, so like I want my students to have that. So I'm very lucky in that regard. It's awesome. A little embarrassing because, you know, I got those one or two matches you're like, eh, I want to scrub off. But you know, it at the end of the day, very thankful to have that, because I know not everyone has that.
And does it put extra pressure on you? Because especially like looking at like the earlier days where you were still trying to put together who you were as a character and a performer, did that add like extra pressure or added?
Yes.
Obviously, it's always going to add extra stress just being on television, but just coming out
Yes.
not necessarily knowing what you're doing.
I definitely, because you know, I started training and I had my little class. You know, we started together. And right around when we were all like ring ready, we were all, this was when we were starting weekly television. So we were kind of baptized by fire. Like, we were having matches every week, you know, sometimes twice a week, three times a week. So we were really baptized by fire, and it was stressful because, you know, even though in my opinion I was nowhere near TV ready, I kind of had to get TV ready, and I got to learn on the job and stuff like that. And I think that was very, very beneficial to me, because I'm one of those people that like I'm not going to learn until like I really do it, you know. And so it was stressful, and like again, like if I could go back and like erase some matches, because I don't think they really were I wish I was at during that time, it's still a very good thing because I think, you know, I'm above where I should be.
And I think it's interesting, kind of, you like mentioned kind of the fact that you've kind of had to learn on the fly, and now you're dealing with a partner, like in the form of an opponent, of course, but wrestling's a dance, and you're also now working with someone who also is learning on the fly as well.
Exactly.
Like that's like, as someone who's done that in other fields, like that's like, and not televised, like I'm doing this, I'm screwing up and you know, the comfort of an office or comfort of an office building, you know, you guys are figuring stuff out on the fly on TV, and like,
exactly,
and the person supposed to be working with you also doesn't know what's going on either. Like, that just,
you know, sometimes it's the blind leading the blind out there. Like, sometimes it's like you got to say a Hail Mary beforehand and like, all right, whatever, we're gonna do this, because like, you know, there were times where like, you know, I was, you know, put with somebody who was new, or like I was put in charge of somebody new, and I was like, you know, I'm not really in that place to lead. So you just, you know, try your best, F up at 100% is what I say.
There you go. And really, I guess and this is after I, you know, say things and then it kind of clicks, but like, I mean, that's kind of the nature of the beast within the independent world as well, because, you know, you guys, you know, the lucky ones who get to travel, like you're going to a new promotion, you know, at least, you know, every month, or heck, if you're really on it, like every week, like who knows who you're going to be paired up with. So not only, you know, are you outside your comfort zone in terms of geographic location, now you got someone brand spanking new to you as a person and possibly as a worker to have your match with and try to.
Exactly. And like, one thing I will say about that is like, to me, like, it's a very big deal, like, to me, when I'm working with somebody who's new, or like if it's like their first match or something, like that's a big deal, because like, you know, like, yeah, I, again, like, I get like emotional and like sappy about this stuff, but like, you know, I was very lucky to have my first match with Rochelle Riveter, the FSW women's champion and stuff like that, and I was in very, very good hands, you know, like, because you're putting a lot of trust in this other person. Like, look, man, I don't really know what I'm doing. This is my first time ever doing this. Like, I'm putting trust and faith in you that, like, you're gonna lead me through this. And it is a big deal, like, when you're getting a new person, because it's like, not only do you have to worry about yourself, well, I mean, you should always be worrying about the other person in a wrestling match, but especially, like, when it's somebody new, you know, like, you got to account for nervousness, account for, you know, them being in their head, and like, it's such a cool experience, you know, like after the match and them being like, we did it, but it's scary, but it's also an honor to like be put in that position. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there, but I like talking about that stuff.
No, and I mean, you got a venue right now to spout off and not necessarily seem like, you know, you're being self-centered, because it's one thing to just be on your phone and this is your promo now. You're on a podcast. You're the star of this year thing. So I've given you a platform to spout off on however you see fit.
And like when I like walk into locker rooms too, like, and stuff like that, like, just there's so many different personalities, and like, you know, we have some big personalities in wrestling. We have some not so nice people in wrestling. I haven't come across people like that yet, but I know they're out there. So like, you know, going into your first match, like, again, like, I was very lucky to be at the place I was, and like, I knew everybody, knew who I was wrestling, had trained with them very well. But, you know, people who don't come from a place that I come from or have the resources I have, like, sometimes they're just thrown into their first match with a person they don't know, you know, like, and it's scary. So like, yeah, like, I was really thankful for that. And like, I wish more people would take, like, you know, being given the lead more seriously, because like, that's a big deal. Like, that's a big deal for people, you know, you're being entrusted to like lead somebody through Yeah, so that's it on that little tangent, but be a good leader is how I can sum that up.
There we go. And well, I mean, a good match is the sum of all parts. So, if you
Exactly.
if someone's coming in either with a bad attitude or, carry whatever baggage, that's going to bring the match down at a certain level too. Just being a bad teacher about things. Not
It's a
everyone's
team
meant to tease.
sport. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't realize, and I think even some wrestlers don't realize, like, this is a team effort. Like, if the match is bad, it's not just on him, it's not just on her, it's on everybody. I'm my own biggest critic. Like, I very rarely walk away from a match happy because there's always something I could have done better. There's always something that could have gone better, but I've witnessed, people come back from the curtain and getting into arguments over the match, and I'm just like, hey man, it's two people in there, three people in there, sometimes four people in there. Like, everyone has a responsibility, and if the match doesn't go bad, if the match goes, south or something like that, chances are it's not just on one person. There's always something like we could do better as individuals and stuff like that. So, I'm very, I have that mindset, like, going into stuff like that. Like, always try your best, but you're very rarely are things gonna go well. Very, whether it's you, your opponent, or both of you. Like, it's a team effort, so it's like when we're doing our best as a team and we're supporting each other, I'm gonna make you look good, you make me look good. That's when stuff is gonna be the best it can be.
Yeah. And you're right. And even looking at those, say, like the bigger picture of it all, like, yes, you two or you four, however many are in the match, are going to be responsible for the bulk of it. But there's so many like other
Exactly.
teamwork factors going to it. Like, what's the referee doing? A bad ref can take a match down, or a good match
Exactly.
can, or a good ref can, add that little like bump that the match may have needed. We can even, if we're going to put on our, take off our fan hat and put on our armchair booker hat. How's the storyline going? Like, oh, well, a
Exactly.
bad storyline is going to take this awesome match and just like take it down a step in, my neck beard basement dwelling match critiques and all that sort of good stuff. There's a lot of moving parts going on there, just in general, just for people to, I don't know, lash out at each other. And not to say that, sometimes bad things just don't, things don't just gel. But
Yeah.
it is a team effort. But kind of speaking of branching out, going new places, continuing that theme, because they're local to me, like I have to like at least reference it. Honor Among Wrestling, how did you get involved with them?
The promoter reached out to me just one day, and he was like, would you like to come out? And this was the first time, like, it wasn't my first out of state booking, but it was my first booking that I had gotten completely on my own. And he messaged me, would you like to come out? You're gonna wrestle a champion who at the time was Guerrilla de Presenias, who's awesome, such a sweetheart. I came out there, and he had mentioned, like, your character, we love your character and stuff, and they had seen my footage. And I came out there, and it's a special promotion to me just because, like, that was the first, booking I felt like I really got on my own. And secondly, like, I love the locker room atmosphere over there, and they're constantly bringing in people, constantly improving. Like, they are a solid promotion to work for, and I enjoy working with them.
And I think it's neat that you said that you kind of your first match there was for a championship, because again, going through going go circling back of having faith in your workers, or as in a worker or a character, just to be put into title contention in your very first match is has to be a nice pat on the back for you
Yes.
as well, especially for like a well especially for we'll say that promotion, because they are they're less than 2 years old as well, and
Yeah, they're very new.
I'm not even sure if they've made it. They might have just made it through the first calendar year now-ish or within the next couple months or so.
I think
so
they
like
just had the Anna Lucy show not too long ago.
yeah but yeah but like I just had to plug them because they're local, they're military friendly and
Military
military
owned,
owned,
yes.
minority owned as well. And of course, like they're putting they put together they're a pretty solid women's division and put on,
Yes.
women only shows. So
Yeah, there's so many girls I love there, like Reagan, and like just a bunch of Kelsey, like a bunch of cool women I've gotten to meet. Like that's another thing I do love about Haw is like they're very centered on the women, and like not only have I been able to work with like Soo Young and stuff like that, like it's just meeting new people and new people who love wrestling and stuff like that. And that's also an awesome part of this wacky world, is meeting people.
You mentioned working with Soo Young. Did you get to wrestle her, or is it just went or just being kind of in the locker room?
So with Sue keeping things, we were on a team there for a little bit, and then her actions kind of screwed me over. So right now things are
Okay.
a little
Things are
tense,
off.
things are a little off, but overall it was just working with somebody again who was a part of like that Knockouts division that was so good and stuff like that. That was like kind of a really surreal moment. I was a little starstruck. I was definitely a little shy around her, but it was so awesome.
I was just thinking, like, character-wise, like you guys would be, at least like a
Yes.
peripheral fit, or at least, with some good creative, like you could be, as you put it, brought together, whether it's a larger stable, tag team, or loose alliance, however we want to phrase that, just because she's also kind of a
Yes.
supernatural horror movie
Yes.
character, at least in that form as
And
well.
everybody who has been following that, keep a close eye on my accounts because we have a message for Soo Young coming out shortly, April 13th.
Oh,
Right around
there's our plug. See, and see, then
there.
I like in my head, like I've gone the opposite direction. Like I really want you to go head to head with our local good witch, Kaia McKenna, and
Oh,
just
I've heard about
yeah. So bringing in the marionette character with the good witch, or at least she's usually a good witch. Sometimes the good witch even has to put her combat boots on.
We'll
But I think
see.
that would, but I, but I think that's a booking I want to see, especially since, you're making the trips out here, and she's been quasi local, except she's been killing it all across the country as well. But this is just me if I had promoter money to do. So wink, wink, nudge, nudge,
Nudge.
promoters, hint, hint. If you're close and you could throw that, that's at least one more ticket, and some weirdo with a social media
Exactly.
following is will help plug it. Or I'll throw an extra a couple coffers, and I'll sponsor the match. So I'll throw that out there too. But I think that would be fun. But speaking of kind of like dream matches, we'll kind of wind things down. What dream matches do you have out there? I mean, you've referenced already working with Soo Young and a bunch of other women, but like what's kind of your bucket list right now?
So I would probably say a big one for me is right now probably Rochelle Riveter, just because she was my very first match. So I would really love to wrestle her again, just since I've gotten so much better and stuff like that, because she's killing it now right now. So Rochelle Riveter, I would love to get in there with Brittany Brooks. Love Brittany is so sweet. I love her. Who else? Do. Also, Reagan Liddell. She's the big hoss hippie. I'd love to wrestle her as well. Who else? Shaza McKenzie. I've seen her in the Midwest and stuff like that. So a lot of girls like that. Those are probably on my list right now.
And then taking a big picture, where do you see yourself going from here? Like whether it's we'll say a 3-year plan, 5-year plan, what where where's what's the goals for the near future and maybe a little bit farther out?
My goal is to become as good as I can be at this. I want to become as good as I can be at this, and I want to be able to make this my living because this is wrestling is what I love. I eat it, I breathe it, I sleep it. And it's if I could make my living just doing what I love, that would be a goal for me. Of course, like I want to get signed. I would love to be in the WWE, be an Impact, but I feel like my number one goal right now is to make it my living. Make it my living and then, focus on that next level. But, never say never because I wouldn't say no to a contract if it was thrown right in front of me right now, whether it's like right now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, like at the end of the day, like that's everybody's dream is like a WrestleMania moment, a Slammiversary moment, But more, I guess more realistically would be making this my level, my living.
Oh, that's fair. And really, again, taking this down the realism path, not so few folks get to make their full-time living wrestling without a contract. So, just that I do think is, a great goal to have, like just in general. We all have our, we'll call it side hustle pipe dreams, hoping to make that a real thing, guy with a podcast says. But yeah, and then just go into the pure hypothetical round, rounds. Okay, a all the dream promotions, so your WWE's Impact, or they're back to TNA, TNA, AEW, New Japan, or Stardom, whomever, they all offer you the exact same contract. What contract would you sign? Would it be WWE? Would it be a Stardom? Would it
I
be?
would have to say WWE just because that's my childhood and to me that's still the pinnacle and that's still the top, especially now I feel like more than ever. And like just to have a WrestleMania moment, that would be special. So I would say WWE, no hesitation. But also with that said, Impact would be a really close second. I would love to go to Impact. Oh, TNA now.
The change, like owls, maybe. Is there still an owl around? I don't know. I have to get Muffins on the line and let me know all that stuff. But again, like I feel like despite wrestling probably being the healthiest it's been in like 30 years, I mean, a lot of folks still see WWE as the pinnacle, so there's I don't think there's any shame in that, and especially WrestleMania is a big deal, and let's also be realistic about it. WrestleMania is such a big deal now that it's bolstering the independents. There's all there's it's
Exactly.
indie week out in Philly right now, and everybody in every promotion and their mother that has the money to take everything and go to Philly's going to Philly and having shows. There's wrestling almost all around the clock now, pretty much due to WrestleMania. So that is what it is. So before we go, give you an opportunity to plug where you're coming up in the next, well, however long you want to, however far out you want to go, and where can we find you on social media in terms of, well, social media and or merch.
So, I'm working on a lot of new merch right now, so stay tuned in the next couple of weeks on my social media. I'm getting ready to drop some stickers, some t-shirts, really trying to up the merch game. The next couple of weekends, I am going to be wrestling in Denver, Colorado at the Beerstock Lager House this weekend. Next weekend, catch me in Washington for Northwest Pro. The weekend after that, I will be in Kansas at 8 at Heartland Championship Wrestling. The weekend after that, I will be in Vegas at the Level Up Expo wrestling there. And then May 4th, I will be wrestling at Pro Wrestling Epic in Illinois. And then after that, I'll be heading up to Indiana for Hooligan Championship Wrestling. As for social media, you can find me at Noelle Summit on Instagram, on Twitter, Twitter X, whatever it's called now, and then Facebook. And yeah, I will be. I'm mostly on Instagram. So if you're trying to get into contact with me or anything like that, or want to say hi, Instagram is your best bet.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for us. Thank you for coming on. It's
Thank
greatly
you.
appreciated. And especially since you're so young in your career, hoping for great things and maybe have you back
Yes.
a year, 2 years, 3 years
Yes, I
to
would love
see
to.
further progression of where we've gone from here. So thank you very much. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network, and you can check them out on the Underground Rundown on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. Background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts. My social media links can be found in the descriptor, but the Twitter and Instagram are at the Nova of Cass, that is TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment and etc., please check out the tip jar at ko-fi.com/Casanova, or if you prefer some more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova, that is Cassonova, where for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, The False Prophet, Alexander McCarthy, and Left Tendo, and check it out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. Links will be below. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that is kammerer, at comcast.net. Thank you for listening.